Sausage begins now. Jesse, what are the early returns on our poll question?
I am pulling them up right now on Twitter at Wildy and Tausch. Our poll question. I hope you are cool with how I worded it, by the way.
Cool with it.
Yeah. Other than Jordan Love, who is the next core Packers player that should receive a contract extension? The four options are Zach Tom, Romeo Doubs, nobody worth considering, or other with a fill-in-the-blank tell-us option. Tausch, do you want to guess anything before I tell you what the returns are? I
know. Why you like don't to do you that. Tell me what you're thinking? I think there'll be some that might say Quay Walker, but probably not many. I would have to think Zach Tom's winning this thing in a somewhat of a rout.
You would be correct. 71% Zach Tom leading the way. Nobody worth considering, 13% in second place in the poll. 10% other tell us. We'll review some of those in a moment.
Well, Romeo's in last place.
Romeo Doubs with only 7% of the vote because he's Alan Lazard.
I'm telling you, man, people are sleeping on Romeo Doubs because he's been stereotyped as a borderline 2-3 guy, not a borderline 1-2 guy. And if you want to look at what he's done, he's been a borderline 1-2 guy. He's not been a borderline 2-3 guy. Like, look at his stats. Look at what he's done. But he's been overlooked by Christian Watson's big run of 4 or 5 games that he was Randy Moss-esque his rookie season. And then last year it was Jordan Love and Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. And, oh, look at this group of five. Well, who's the fifth guy? Who is the fifth Beatle, Jason?
I don't know.
Shemp.
No.
He would be, if you're talking about the Three Stooges, thank you, Jesse, he would be the Shemp right now. I don't know who'd be Larry, Curly, and Moe, but he is the forgotten Stooge in this group.
I don't know.
Oh, I remember that era. This is his thing, not mine, Jason. Just, you know, this is Jesse's. I'm helping him since he didn't help me with my dad joke. The bottom line on Romeo Doubs is he's been really good.
You didn't want help with your dad joke.
No, I did. You guys didn't give me any. You gave me feedback.
Oh, here. Hey, look at that. Wait,
some history there.
Wait 1 second. The fifth Beatle is an informal title that has been applied to people who were at one point a member of the Beatles or who had a strong association with John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. So there is no fifth Beatle, like, legit fifth Beatle.
Okay.
There's no one that holds that title. No wonder we couldn't help you.
But there is a rotating cast.
Don't you kind of sense? I mean, I think he'd be more the fourth, but we've had this discussion too, not just Jordan Love.
Right.
Extension talk.
It's true.
We've had this discussion about Romeo Doubs, and we keep saying, well, Christian Watson, if he stays healthy. Oh, Dontavian Wicks. And by the way, Greg Cosell, probably a bigger Dontavian Wicks fan than you are. And
wow.
You have been in his camp. I'm a Jaden Reed guy because he's productive. Yep. So, at best, people view him as the fourth Beatle, but then everybody's like, well, oh, what about Heath? He's a blocker. Oh, Melton. And everybody just is like, oh, Doubs is just there. He'll be there.
Ringo Doubs.
It's kind of where it's at. Like, that's how people view it. And our poll... it's just another indicator in that.
Also, kudos to Tausch for finding an even older reference than J.R. Ewing. We have gone with the Beatles now.
And the Three Stooges.
What do you want to go with?
We're going backwards.
I actually think that was pretty good. I did. I just, we get a lot of grief around here for our old person references for, and again, I would also like to point out to Evan, who we love, that when we tried to push back on you using J.R. Ewing, we used Seinfeld, which has been off the air for more than 20 years.
In the same boat.
But it doesn't feel like it's been off the air that long.
Yeah, you don't see Dallas in syndication like you see Seinfeld in syndication. That's very fair.
Which is a shame. Because people would love it.
Jesse, I do think it's interesting.
So why wouldn't that? You just bring up an interesting question to me. Why doesn't Netflix, which pumps out that Suits show that you guys love, why is it not pumping out Dallas?
I that's a great question. I would assume
maybe Dallas wasn't a very good show.
Don't
you dare. Hey, don't you dare say things like that. The greatest TV character of all time is J.R. Ewing. And he can't be on Netflix? I'm sorry.
Right.
Or Paramount Squared or whatever other networks, quote unquote, that they put him on? What are we doing here?
Apparently. Now, you do have. It's hard for me to keep track of your streaming services.
I don't have Peacock.
Yeah, we know Peacock's out.
That's the only one I know for certain that you don't have.
I feel like we have all. I think we have everything else.
Ironically
now, I kind of want to have Peacock because there's Badger games.
Right.
That's the ironic part.
The more
part.
You think about now, that's the one you only really do need as a Badger fan.
And now I've kind of pigeonholed myself into saying I can't do it. So even if every of my favorite show of all time, Wings and Dallas, would be on there, I'm still not going to watch it.
So I am here to tell you that on Amazon Prime, which has apparently a portion of their realm now that's called Freevee, which is TV, but it has commercials, which sounds a lot like cable to me.
That's television. Yeah.
Dallas is available on Amazon Prime. So if you would like to...
Why is Suits, a show you two both love...
Great show.
They put it up there. They force it down your blanking throat. Let's put Dallas up there and see if Dallas, you force that down people's throat if they're as interested in Suits. I bet it. Well, they would.
Do you know how Netflix works?
Not really. I don't.
I appreciate the honest answer there.
But am I supposed to? Like, do you know how Netflix works? Yeah. Hey, it's on my phone. I click a button. I dump a code in, and then I can watch Love is Blind. That's how Netflix works for me.
Kind of. They're not forcing you to watch Suits on Netflix. It's popping up on the deal because it's a trending show. It's one of the top shows people are watching nationwide.
Why would Suits all of a sudden be trending?
Because
it's been off the air for 10 years.
Because people
that's
are
that's your best?
Because people are
they're jamming it down your throat. You don't understand that they're jamming it down your throat. That's what you don't understand. If Suits was just another show on, great. Go, I got to search, I got to find it, boom. They put it up on the top. It's like grocery stores, Jesse. They're not throwing it. They put it at the checkout because they want you to make an impulse buy. They're paying more for it. They want to jam it down your throat. Well, here, they're doing the same thing on Netflix. How do you not understand that?
I'm more concerned, not that I wasn't listening.
Throat.
But I'm watching the start of Dallas, and Larry Hagman is like the fifth or sixth guy that's mentioned in the opening credits. So for as much as you argued that, now this was in season two that I selected, so I assume that it changed.
Oh,
but for as much as you enjoyed
You trying to tell me that J.R. Ewing was a bit player in an ensemble cast? Is that what you're telling me?
At least when the show began. Now maybe it evolved to the point where Larry Hagman...
I don't want to go Charles Barkley here, but come on, man.
I am telling you, they opened the credits in alphabetical order. They did not put Larry Hagman first, even though he was the straw that stirred the Dallas drink. Instead, Barbara Bel Geddes, Jim Davis, Charlene Tilton, I think, is the only one that's after him. We have now reached a point in the program where we're talking more Dallas than we are talking football. You do get to see the Dallas Cowboys Stadium in the opening credits, though. I'm sure you remember that from all those times that you watched those episodes. But what shows are you frustrated that you're not having access to right now? Is there like a list of them?
I'm not frustrated about it. I'm just telling you, I don't understand. I wanted you guys, when Jesse says, do you understand Netflix? I said, no. You didn't explain anything to me. So what did you? Well, you asked the question. You don't even give me any. You understand how this works? Well, no, I don't.
Fair.
Tell me.
It's fair critique.
There's nothing worse than people that just spout off and don't have any answers for it. And another thing, before I get to my AmFam read, I have now been playing. Eleanor and Max are both all in on euchre and dirty clubs, and they're loving card games. And we have house rules, and I've changed the rules, and everybody I've played with loves the new euchre rules. Four is you got to get four if you go alone. Three is a bump, which for anyone that doesn't play cards, that means you get double the points. You set somebody. I go over to my boy's place last night. We're playing euchre. It's his house, and he refuses, even though in good conscience he knows that my rules are better, refuses to play with those rules, and I am now soured on euchre because that rule sucks, where it's only three to get bumped. What do I do? I'm frustrated that he hasn't acknowledged it, changed the rule. I am frustrated by it.
Is there ever... I understand that you occasionally have some grievances. Not toward tournament directors anymore, however. But do you ever think that your frustrations are sometimes for a niche audience?
You remember when you said nobody cares about euchre, and I got like 150 some responses about the rules?
I do remember that. I do.
So
they're a passionate
group. Don't say
niche.
They're a passionate group.
But again, you're changing a rule, and you're frustrated because the greater euchre community has not accepted it. Is that
no?
A
the fair greater euchre community has. I want more. I want it to be the new standard rule, and people have to go the other way in order to play it back to the way it's been in the past, if that makes any sense to you.
The Bucks signed somebody.
Breaking news?
Yeah.
Well, hit it.
Oh, baby, now this is some breaking news.
Veteran guard DeLon Wright has signed a one-year, $3.3 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Most recently with the Miami Heat, appeared in 14 games last season, has spent time with Toronto, Sacramento, Atlanta.
I can speak for our audience.
Washington.
And saying, and
I'd rather
give
talk
me more euchre breakdown, and give me more J.R. Ewing than that. I feel fairly confident.
DeLon Wright.
I also feel fairly confident. It's that time of the year again. Nobody tailgates like Brewers fans. And what if I told you that American Family Insurance can help take your tailgating to the next level? Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for an all-expenses-paid day at American Family Field with your own personal chef. You and five friends, field-level tickets, gift cards to your favorite spots at the stadium, and more. Go to amfam.com/brewer to enter today. No purchases necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
More euchre breakdowns, Larry Hagman highlights, and Buck signings still ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Ground here today. Rhubarb, tournament directors, euchre improvements. Tausch, is there anything we haven't hit on yet that you want to hit on?
Yes, I do, but I'm going to save it to tomorrow, and it's big tech related.
Of course it is.
That's
Jesse
good,
just
I'm
put down big tech related. And
all right.
And he'll remember, maybe. So tell us about Coors Light so we can get back on the clock instead.
Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And what a weekend. 4th of July falling on the perfect day Thursday, because then a lot of people get Friday off. It's like Thanksgiving. It is a beautiful holiday. We love it, and we will love Coors Light on that holiday. The cookouts, out on the boat, if you're up at a cabin, what a spot. Have yourself some Coors Light. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection. You make sure those mountains are blue, and you're going to have yourself a great day. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Now, Christmas is on, like, the worst possible time. It's on a Wednesday. So is it worth the trade-off having 4th of July Thursday to do Christmas Wednesday?
I'd rather have Christmas line up perfectly, but for me, boy, that is Jesse, your best question of the year so far. Going July 4th because there's more free time. You can probably maximize your time better with that. And for Christmas, you're going to take your time with your family regardless. 4th of July, you're probably going to be sipping Coors Lights. You're going to be going up there, and you're going to extend that out another 2 or 3 days. And the fact that that's when we're busiest, I think I'm going to go 4th of July.
I'm going to go for Whoa Nelly, which is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch is our resident NBA expert when it comes to free agency. Klay Thompson out at Golden State with Steph Curry and the Warriors. End of an era, 13 seasons that duo was together. Multiple NBA championships, even more berths in
four
the finals. Four championships, 6 berths in the finals over the 13
berths.
Seasons for Steph
berths.
And Klay.
Berths.
How will we look back and remember the Splash Brothers at Golden State?
Yeah, they're the greatest shooting tandem of all time, backcourt. And when Mark Jackson said that in like 2013, 14, whatever year it was, we all laughed and said, you're crazy. And he's crazy like a fox, because he was right. And Klay Thompson has been an unbelievable player. Injuries caught up with him. Age has caught up with him. His monster salary, all of those things. And I think the tough part about sports is that all these things come to an end, and nobody, you have alpha dogs like Klay that is sitting there. He doesn't think so. He got there because he's proven over and over to blank you, I can do this. And at some point you can't. And you're usually the last one to know it. So It was a unbelievable run. His career, if he doesn't play another dribble, he's gonna go down as one of the best to do it. But I would not want Klay on my team anymore. I think his best days are behind him. He can still shoot it a little bit, but all of the other stuff, it just caught up with him. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. And at some point, he's gonna be back, and everybody's gonna say, "What a great run! What a career!" But he's going to be one of the last guys to know it, and I think we're seeing that unfold.
Do you know how old Klay Thompson is?
34?
You're right, 34. NBA expert,
something
Mark
Tauscher. Like
okay. Yeah, 34. He'll
be 35 in
February.
I don't know why you guys are giving me all this grief. Again,
I'm not getting
into the minutiae.
No,
if you ask me who the starting forward for the Wizards is, I ain't going to tell you. Because you know what? Nobody cares, unless you live in Washington. Fair?
Well, I guess my
aren't there like three Badgers that are on the Washington Wizards that we might actually care? Like, it could be Johnny Davis.
Who are they?
I don't know. Are they?
Johnny D? Ask, I don't know.
See, I think you're illustrating our point as why we kind of give you a little bit of a hard time.
I said national. I said on a national scale.
You made that addition today. Previously, no, there were no caveats.
I never said it. You guys monikered.
To you being an NBA expert.
Y'all monikered me. I didn't moniker myself. And I'm just living up to said
moniker.
I know
a lot about the NBA, I believe.
I do.
Quote that launched this opinion.
I do. I agree with you on that.
But not the minutia. Yeah, it's a bit of an...
In fairness, I'm not interested in the Wizards playing the Bulls on a Tuesday night in D.C. Both teams are irrelevant.
I agree.
Don't care.
But I guess my question would be, Brian Windhorst, Malika Andrews, Tim Legler, they're probably not really interested in who the starting lineup is for the Wizards either, but they probably still know it because they are...
Well, actually, Tim Legler lives in D.C., so I think he probably does care. So that's not a great example.
I don't know if he cares.
Whoa, Nelly!
Tausch, we know you love fixing games. They have done their best to once again make improvements.
Whoa. I love improving. Fixing games has a gambling connotation. Yeah.
You're right.
Thank
Tausch
you.
Tausch loves making improvements to games.
Indeed.
And then fixing them so he can win.
Hey.
Not about that. I didn't even win last night in either, so no. By the way, bocce ball. What do you, Jesse? Yeah. What do you call the little baby ball that you throw out in the beginning?
The baby ball. I don't know. The little ball. It's just the little ball.
I thought you were Mr. Yard Game up north and playing games on the lake.
I've become more of a croquet connoisseur this year. I've moved
it's
on.
It's called
from
Penelope.
Bocce.
The ball is called Penelope for
what?
Whatever reason.
What? Yeah,
that's what they call the little white
that
ball
up, you,
that they fire it. No, I'm not. I am not a bocce expert by any stretch. And by the way, I will go and say I like the bocce game when it's in the sandbox, when they throw it in that box so that the ball doesn't roll down weeds and get into mosquito-infested areas
that doesn't
have Mosquito Joe.
Adds elements to it.
So this last night was there, but they're throwing Penelope, and what I didn't know is if you hit Penelope, you get a point. So if you play to 11, didn't know that. Kind of like it. But
Penelope.
You can't win the game by hitting Penelope. If I'm at 10 and we have to get to 11, I hit Penelope, get me 11 points, I don't get the dub, is what I found out.
Again, I understand that once upon a time, I may have suggested that Euchre fans were a niche audience and we were inundated with text messages. So I say this at the risk of being inundated by bocce ball of
the bocce
aficionados.
Yeah.
The bocce ball community.
What are we doing here? I will say this. I did not know that the ball was called Penelope.
Yeah, it's a new one.
I don't love the phrase, if you hit Penelope, you win the game, or whatever it is.
No, you can't win by hitting Penelope.
No, you can't win with it.
You could be arrested if you hit Penelope.
Whoa!
In fairness, I didn't bring it up. Jesse brought up bocce ball, not me. In fairness.
What world do you live in?
What do you mean?
I'm trying to ask you about the home run derby.
Boy, you went a long way. You went a long way to get there. You started with euchre, bocce ball, croquet, and now you're finding a way to bring that around to the home run derby? What a stretch that is. I don't know how you're getting there.
Jesse, stop bringing up bocce. This is all your fault.
Tausch, we know you love making improvements to games. Well, what do you think of baseball's improvements to the home run derby? Getting rid of the bracket-style format and simply making it most dingers wins. Round of 8, top 4 advance. Round of 4, top 2 advance. Winner take all. And you only get 40 pitches as opposed to the timed round. They still have the timer, so you can't take forever. But 40 pitch maximum, so you can't stand there taking 5 in a row from who's ever throwing to you. What do you think, Tausch?
How many different periods of time. Is it from the start to the finish, whoever has the most wins? Is that the deal?
No, you reset for each round. I think maybe the first and second round carry over.
I want a cumulative effect. So if old boy hits 30 out of 40, but then he only hits 10 out of 40 the next, and somebody else goes 20, and I guess the math on that would be 21 more, you win by one. I want a cumulative deal. I don't want it just to be each round. I want the whole thing to be added up. You're getting the swings. You advance because you had the most in that round. And then if you're eligible, you can end up winning it. I'm good with that. But, yes, getting rid of I think anything to shorten it up and make it sweeter is going to be better.
I think this sounds great, and it feels logical. I don't understand why they did it in such a convoluted way to begin with. This makes a lot more sense. It's more like the old school home run derby. I don't know if you guys ever came across this when you were maybe watching Dallas or Seinfeld, but ESPN Classic used to run these black and white home run derbies between like Mickey Mantle and Henry Aaron. And anytime they were, does anybody, if you remember this, text or tweet us, because I used to love watching this. They were black and white, and it was mano a mano. It was before I think baseball had even brought back the home run derby at the All-Star game. That's how long ago this was. But it was like Henry Aaron versus Willie Mays, and it was amazing to watch, but it was simple. Who hit more home runs?
Okay.
I like this.
Just wait a second. So you crush me on bringing up the fifth Beatle. You crush me about bringing up Dallas.
I actually am bringing
and
up.
Then you go back to Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb as being the home run champs. That's what we're doing here. So I don't fully understand how you can come at me by saying all of your references are old. They're blank and blank and blank. And then you come back with Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. Just so we're on the same page.
Babe Ruth. Yes, I said Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. We were at least talking about it was actually adjacent to the topic at hand as opposed to Dallas and J.R. Ewing.
I've got bad news for Tausch.
Uh-oh.
I've got like 10 texts saying that the little baby ball in bocce is actually called the Polino, not the Penelope.
I don't know if anything has happened in the history of this show that was more appropriate than that.
Is that mean that last night's game that we lost is not valid because we were calling it Penelope over Polina?
Who told you it was called Penelope?
The people we were playing with.
Here I was thinking you like looked it up and you were taking it very seriously and found all this information.
Because he did all that Googling previously.
What would make you think that I looked up what the Penelope ball was called in bocce? Why would you ever think I would do that?
You started the show by telling us how you Googled something.
Yeah, I Googled something about rhubarb because I knew I was going to be talking about it. And I wanted to have my facts right. This, I just assumed they have a beautiful bocce set. They play a ton of bocce. And they're telling me about this Penelope. You think I'm making that up? I don't know anything about bocce. I show up at bars and we'll play in a little rink and we'll throw the ball around while we're having a Coors Light. I'm not interested. That's not my game. So,
Euchre,
I took their word for it. They lied.
Yeah, you're only
like
as good
lied.
As your sources. Jesse, before we run out of time, we've already run out of music on Woe Nelly. I was really interested in this word that you are refusing to use. And now we've run out of time. Are we teasing that for tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll roll it over. We'll get to it at some point. I also promised my brother-in-law I was going to ask him something on his behalf from last week that I still haven't gotten to. So I got some stuff over. Yeah.
Woof, woof. Am I right?
Woof.
Been home alone all morning. Everybody comes in with 10 minutes left in the show. I got dogs barking. I got people using Google broadcasts during the show. Come on, people. We still have a show to do here. We will wrap things up so my life can get out of control, apparently, here at home. And This is what happens. I thought I was distracted by the Summerfest crowd, which I was, by the way. Have you done a show at Summerfest?
I haven't, no. I went down and saw Imagine Dragons last year. It was fantastic.
Yeah, people come up to you while you're on the radio, and they want information, and they don't seem to care that you're on the radio. Where is the tie-dye portion of the, of the park? Yeah, I don't know, sir. Thank you for stopping by. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wisconsin's all-time sack leader is finally a Hall of Famer.
Dollar led the big can, always revved up to come off that corner.
Congratulations to ESPN Madison's Tarek Saleh, proud member of the UW Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2024.
It has been a ride. And a fun one at that.
It has.
Jesse, just so we are being properly fact-checked by our many fans, what do you have on the text line?
Several people weighing in saying that they did watch the old black and white home run derby that you were referring to.
Thank you.
I think it was just called Home Run Derby.
I believe so.
Seems to be what many people were saying here. Hank Aaron was on it. They would interview the contestants. Scott in New Jersey says, great show, Home Run Derby. Worst interviews ever during the show. That was a long one, Mick. Yup. And that's
it's true, actually. I remember that aspect of it as well.
The black and white home run derby was nuts. An empty stadium with just a pitcher and catcher and umpire, and the guy not hitting would sit with the play-by-play guy host and get awkwardly interviewed while watching his opponent.
Yep, these are my memories. Not as vivid as J.R. Ewing, but pretty good. And Jesse, we have confirmed we had the wrong name of the ball.
It is the Polino. I have definitely heard of the Polino before after it was referred to on the text line. Yes, not the Penelope.
Tausch will fact check with his bocce ball playing
friends.
No,
I got a fact check call. I got a call as the commercial break went, and he made sure to reference that he said anything that began with the letter P, Polina or Polino, but they called their ball Penelope.
Oh, okay. Well, it's...
Is it a my bad deal, or is it just, I don't know, I'll take the blame, but I think
it's like there's
shady.
A running theme of house rules at this house are a little questionable.
Well, maybe you should just play euchre with them instead.
It's frustrating.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.